Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush Monday. Chuck here. Noel, I hope, is joining us. He is not answering his Skype call, so we're going to go ahead and get going because I am on a tight schedule. So I found this on the Movie Crushers page. This is pretty great. This is from one of our oldest pals, Allison Gallagher. She dug up an article from Pop Sugar, the 22, well, let me qualify this. It does not say the 22 worst movies of all time. It says these are 22 of the worst movies of all time. And this is from Corrine Sullivan from February of this year, from popsugar.com. And I was kind of curious how they qualified this. And then they said it kind of right in the beginning that these are films that have a zero rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is, that's pretty bad. 0%. And, you know, we've talked about Rotten Tomatoes on the show before and whether or not anyone should pay attention to something like Rotten Tomatoes. You know, here's what I think is Rotten Tomatoes is a, you know, it's an okay starting point. It'll give you sort of a level set on generally what, like how good a movie might be. It is not scientific. It is just a bunch of people's opinions. But I will say this, they are not film critics, and sometimes it's nice just to see what we all, us normies, think about a movie. So sometimes I will go, if I'm not sure about a movie, check out a little Rotten Tomatoes action, and if it's really low, then that probably means it's not great. So I will say that, but I wouldn't put like the most stock in it. Like it would never be the ultimate decider on whether or not I watched a movie. But the number one movie... Well, they're not in order, I guess, because they all have a 0%. But number, the first one on the list is Mac and Me from 1988, a movie that I did not see. And I'll go ahead and we should just go through all these and see which ones that I've seen and I haven't seen. But I have not seen Mac and Me at all. And I will not. I can say that for sure. Is that Noel?
Yeah.
Hey, dude, welcome to the show. How's it going? Yes, I'm on a tight schedule, so I got started and figured you would join at some point. Everyone, Noel is here. It's weird. So you're not recording. So Noel will be recording shortly. Hey, that's all right. This is great entertainment. So what we're talking about, Noel, is the Rotten Tomatoes 22 movies have a 0% rating, which is
pretty shocking.
Are you
really truly telling me you've never seen Mac and Me and you refuse to see Mac and Me?
Why would I see it now?
I mean, because it's one of the great product placement movies of all time. It's like one of the great like McDonald's tie-in movies of all time. And I guess all you really need to see is that Paul Rudd clip, though. Once you've seen that, you've probably seen the whole movie. There's also a dance-off in McDonald's with really bad creature makeup with these alien critters. But yeah, I support not seeing it. It's probably fine.
Not going to do it. The second one on the list is Problem Child, another movie I have not seen. This hurts my heart because John Ritter is great.
I was just about to say.
And I miss him being around, but he was in apparently a pretty bad movie.
Well, how did Problem Child 2 do on Rotten Tomatoes?
I have no idea. It says there's also Problem Child 3:Junior in Love.
What? I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a 2.
That's wild. Yeah, no 2 idea. I remember in the theaters. I mean, those were big theater movies. I remember seeing them when I was a kid. But this is news to me, Problem Child 3, Junior in Love. That's crazy.
If you have a colon in your movie, then that's a bad sign.
That's you want to rethink that statement?
what name a good one?
What about a colonoscopy in your movie?
No.
Is that No, okay. What else? I love this. I love this game.
The third one is Look Who's Talking Now. Not the original, but the sequel.
Well, that's the third one. Look Who's Talking 2 was Look Who's Talking Also, a.k.a. T-O-O. Look okay, Who's Talking Now. Third. What was this? Was that the babies? That was one with babies, right? With talking
there,
babies.
There are two children on the... They're not babies. They look like to be about 4 or 5.
The first one is babies. The second one... They're a little older, and I guess what's going on?
There's two dogs.
They added dogs to the mix. That's it. They added dogs. That's how they spiced it up. Because then Look Who's Talking Too.
I wonder if they should just do more sequels and be Look Who's Really Talking Now, and it'll be like The Appliances.
Yep.
And then The Walls, and then they all just drift slowly into insanity.
Look Who's Also Talking As Well.
That's a good title. Colon, mm-hmm. Everything in the house.
Yes.
Here's another colon movie. This is proving my point very well. Ballistic, colon, X versus Sever.
Okay, is this some kind of action picture?
Yeah, this was Antonio Banderas and Lucy Liu. I did not see this either. Turns out I have pretty good taste. Versus. They should have just called it Ballistic because that's, you know, on the nose.
Wow.
But at least it's a real movie title.
It's X spelled E-C-K-S.
Yes.
Amazing. I have not heard of this.
Yeah. It was, like I said, something I've never seen. I haven't seen any of these, Noel.
Directed by someone named Wike Kaosayanada under the pseudonym Chaos.
Wow.
Chaos with a K.
Yeah, I bet that person directed music videos before that. I bet you $1,000 that's a music video director.
1,000?
Uh-huh.
I'll take that action.
All right. Number 5 is Derailed, a movie I've never heard of, but it had Jean-Claude Van Damme in it.
Is it about a train?
Of course. Straight to video. There you have it. Number 6 is Pinocchio, and then on the Facebook page, people are like, Pinocchio? How could Pinocchio be on it? They're talking about the live-action Roberto, what's his name, Roberto Benigni version?
Benigni, yeah. Which is crazy, because that was like a real passion project for him. And obviously, Life is Beautiful, like, you know, Oscar City. And then his next big passion project was a weird Pinocchio, where he plays a small child as an adult weird Italian man. And apparently unbearably bad. Just like painful to watch is what I read.
Yeah, not interested. I have not seen any of these. Killing Me Softly is on the 7 spot. Heather Graham, erotic thriller. Well, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, does not look good. The 8th one is Constellation. Has Billy Dee Williams, Gabrielle Union, Hill Harper, and Zoe Saldana. Good cast.
Yeah.
Cool enough name. Does not look like a good movie, though. It says a made-for-TV soap opera kind of thing with an A-list cast.
So not about space at all.
No, it's not. I think it's probably about love that's written in the stars would be my guess.
Radon Chong.
She's
in it.
Good. I mean, I haven't seen her in a while, but I'm glad she got work in 2005.
It's got 2 stars on IMDb. Okay. Which I guess is about the equivalent of no stars on Rotten Tomato, because IMDb is all user-generated. So if people that actually watched the movie are this unkind to it, that's pretty bad.
Maybe that was just stoners who thought it was Tommy Chong and just gave it a star or two.
Radon Chong.
The 9th one is One Missed Call, another movie I've never heard of. It's a remake of a Japanese film starring Ed Burns.
I don't know who that is.
You know Ed Burns.
Ed Burns. Mr. Burns?
He was in, he directed films early on and wrote and directed these movies about, you know, kind of young Catholic men. But he was in Saving Private Ryan, was kind of his biggest thing. You'd recognize him if you saw him. He was hot shit for a while.
Okay.
Handsome man.
Got it.
Let me see here. 10 is Homecoming, Misha Barton, in a not so scary horror movie. Yeah.
Misha Barton.
Yeah, these straight to video things, I don't even know if you should count that if you're going to make a worst movie list.
I feel like there should be a caveat that this should only include movies that actually were featured in cinema.
I agree.
Cinemar. Mm-hmm.
The Nutcracker in 3D, Elle Fanning and Nathan Lane.
I mean, come on.
The Nutcracker's terrible. Anyway.
Well, no, whoa, Chuck, that is a hot take, my friends. That is a hot take.
Have you ever gone and seen the Nutcracker live and on stage?
No, I'll do you one better. I've run theater tech for the Nutcracker many years when I was growing up. When I was in college, I worked as a sound guy at a local theater. And, you know, if you're the sound guy, you still have to like be kind of a stagehand when they're setting up the sets and building all the stuff. And so, yes, I have seen the Nutcracker many times in a row.
In full.
Yeah. I mean, they do sort of an abbreviated version.
So not in full.
Like, no, it's not very abbreviated. It's just slightly shortened for like school shows where they have like kids come from, you know, different elementary schools around town. And then they do the full version for the evening performances. So, yeah, I've seen it in 6 different ways, man.
Yeah. My problem with the Nutcracker is that it's so long.
Also, just like the first half of it when they're actually like, you know, when all the magic starts, that's pretty charming. But then the second half, when it's just all these bizarre dances and, you know, it just goes on and on and on and on. And it's just so meandering and boring. And yeah, I'm not into it either, Chuck. I'm with you on your hot take.
The 12th one on the list. This was in the theater because I remember it being a thing. She's in here, Emily. She's under the table. Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star. That just looked terrible. Christina Ricci and Nick Swardson and Don Johnson. 13 is Dark Tide.
My goodness.
Halle Berry. She's great, but Dark Tide. I think she kind of is described as a sexy Jaws starring Halle Berry.
Wasn't Jaws sexy enough? Do we need a sexy Jaws? I mean, Roy Scheider was absolutely smoldering in Jaws. And that shark, I mean, talk about a sexy shark. We don't need a sexy Jaws. Dark Tide. Is it feature some sort of... Okay, so the cover is Halle Berry in a bikini, and every still from the movie is Halle Berry in a bikini. And I see a shark fin. So yeah.
That is like a sales point.
It does appear to be a sexy Jaws.
All right. Put a bikini on that shark. Dude?
Oh my God. There's an amazing Japanese or Korean cover where it's Halle Berry in the bikini and then the shark full mouth open, bearing its really bad looking CGI shark teeth.
Toward her?
Away from her, actually. But it's like the scale is all wrong. She's sort of like in the waves, and the shark looks tiny in comparison to how giant Halle Berry is.
Well, you know, she'll sell a movie better than that shark. I guarantee it.
What happened to Halle Berry, Chuck?
Oh, she's around. What are you talking about?
I mean, I'm sure she's around, but like, you know, she went from Monster's Ball to Dark Tide, you know? I mean,
well, you know, I would agree that the quality of film that she's been in has gone down some. But that movie, The Call, was 7 years ago. That was pretty good. She was in John Wick 3.
Oh, that's right. She was great in John Wick 3. She was like his assassin, kind of ex-flame, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I think Halle Berry's taken work where she can get work.
I support that. No, you reminded me, Chuck. She was in John Wick 3. I heard a great little trivia about John Wick is that the only reason they called it John Wick is because Keanu Reeves could never remember the actual name that they were going to give it. And when he was doing press, he just kept calling it John Wick. It was originally going to be called like Avenged or something really stupid like that. Now, you know, we can't imagine any other way, but that was literally why they changed the name of the movie to John Wick, because he kept making press rounds and referring to it as John Wick.
Where'd you hear
squander.
That?
I read it somewhere.
Read it somewhere.
So, okay. Are you going to refute?
I take that with a grain of salt. That sounds to me like a bit of a movie lore type of thing, but maybe not. You never know.
I feel like
because
it was a quote
that
from
saying is Keanu Reeves is really dumb and can't remember a one word title.
No, I don't know that he couldn't remember it. That was the way the article kind of hedged it. But to me, I think he just liked the name of the character, and that's what he always referred to it. Let's see. John Wick name, Keanu, remember.
We'll press on while you're looking that up.
Oh, yeah. No, we should.
14 is 1,000 words. It's an Eddie Murphy movie that initially when I saw this, I did not remember, but now I do. And I think the whole deal is that he's got 1,000 words that he can say or something. He's got a daily word count. Not a good idea for a movie.
Derek Kolsted, who wrote the original John Wick as well as its two sequels, said that Reeves kept referring to the original film by the wrong name. It had previously been titled Scorn. Quote, the only reason it's called John Wick, he said, is that Keanu kept referring to it as John Wick.
Okay, I can buy that.
From The Independent.
That's slightly different than he couldn't remember the title.
Okay, that's fair.
Number 15 is The Ridiculous Six.
Yeah.
That Western.
Adam Sandler straight to Netflix deals.
Oh, was Sandler in it?
That's his thing. It's one of his things.
Oh, okay.
It's one of his whatever contract that he has to make 10 Netflix, movies a year.
Oh, goodness me. That doesn't look good. Taylor Lautner? Oh, boy. 16 is Cabin Fever. And when I first saw Allison Gallagher's abridged version, which was just the list typed out and not the link, I thought Cabin Fever was okay. I kind of liked that movie.
The horror one where people's skin sloughs off and stuff?
This is the remake, which I forgot they did a remake to Cabin Fever. And why on earth did they remake Cabin Fever?
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
I mean,
it doesn't at all.
I guess the original was low budget and schlocky kind of, but yeah, wow. So I am realizing, Chuck, are these are 0%? Was that the deal here? So I am seeing that every one of these that I pull up on IMDb has 2 stars. So the equivalent of 0% on Rotten Tomatoes is 2 stars on IMDb, it would seem. But it could be
interesting
false equivalency. I'm going to keep testing it.
All right. We might have stumbled upon something great here, Noel. 17 is The Disappointments Room.
First of all, Kate Beckinsale. Does not roll off the tongue.
No, not at all.
The Disappointments Room.
I will say this, though. It's from the director of Disturbia, and I thought Disturbia was okay. Did you ever see that?
I know what you're talking about, but I'm sorry. I hate to keep harping on this. Why not just call it The Disappointment Room? That's easier to say. Adding that S at the end just makes it sound really clunky, and I don't understand what's going on.
That's weird. I'm sure that's explained in the movie somehow, but
we'll never know.
Yeah, I thought Disturbia was all right. It wasn't great.
I did a little rabbit hole dive into some iTunes reviews the other day, and someone accused us of too often saying, I haven't seen that, and that's lazy film commentary.
Yes, you're right. This show is all about lazy film commentary. Spot on. 4 stars.
Exactly.
Max Steele. I've never looked at our ratings on iTunes. I don't care.
No, you shouldn't care, but it's occasionally a fun way to either give yourself a nice little boost of confidence or like pour salt in a wound.
I used to read the bad ones and stuff, you should know, just for funsies. That stuff doesn't bother me.
No, it doesn't bother me either. I'm totally joking, but it is fun to kind of occasionally you realize like, oh, this is more about you than it is about me, buddy.
Yeah, I think if I've learned one thing in life here at my ripe old age is the one thing that doesn't bother me and shouldn't bother anyone is an internet opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. You're just setting yourself up for a frustrating life if that stuff gets to you.
Totally.
Max Steele, number 18. I don't think I even know this movie. It says it wanted to be the next Transformers. Ew.
That is not where I would have gone with that. It sounds to me immediately you say that, and I think it's like a
porno
assassin movie. Okay. Yeah, or yeah, exactly. Max Steele. Oh, okay, I think it started off as an animated series that was Transformers-esque, mm-hmm. and then they made this into a movie that apparently did not do well. Again, 2 stars on IMDb.
All right, check this one, Noel. Precious Cargo. This straight to video starring Bruce Willis, Claire Forlani, and, oh, goodness, the great, great Mark Paul I don't even know how to say his name. Gosselaar?
Gosselaar, I'll take. I would take any of those, Chuck.
That looks really
precious.
Bad.
Cargo. Is it about some sort of treasure, or is it about children like riding in a van?
It's thieves in a murderous showdown.
Oh.
With a lack of thrills and reliance on skimpy outfits.
Okay.
So it must have had Bruce Willis in his banana hammock.
It's got to balance out. It can't be all skimpy outfits. You got to have some thrills too, Chuck. You got to have some thrills.
And some fully clothed humans.
At least 20% clothed, yes.
Or at least 20% of the people with some clothes.
Did you ever see Color of Night?
No. I know the movie. Never saw it. That was the sexy one, right?
Steamy. Let me tell you.
All right. We're going to finish this up. Dark Crimes with Jim Carrey when he did that dark sort of drama.
Yeah.
Misguided murder mystery is how it's described here on the Pop Sugar website. Poor Jim Carrey. Not poor Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey. I'm not going to feel too sorry for him. But that does not look like a good movie or a good choice.
Oh, if you look at the poster, if you can, Chuck, I recommend you pulling it up because he's just making the most sad sack face you could possibly make. He just looks really grumpy.
It's probably because he was in that movie.
Dark Crimes. Oh, boy. And the tagline is, "It takes a dark mind to solve a twisted crime."
Yet it's called Dark Crimes and not Dark Minds. Mm-hmm. All right, Noel. So we're going to move on to something that's actually worthwhile in these charged times here in our country. I thought we would start a thread on movies or documentaries that have educated people on race relations and opened their eyes on things. And I thought this would just serve as a good list, as a good reference point for people seeking this kind of stuff out, which we should all be doing right now.
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to read through a bunch of these just to get as many of them out there as we can. Alicia Dietz, one of our old friends, says Hidden Figures, focused on women of color and their struggle. Great movie. Amanda Caron says When They See Us, about the Central Park Five. Were there two Central Park Five documentaries?
Because that's the one that I'm familiar with. There may have been an older one.
I saw one, but I thought it was just called the Central Park Five. Let me look that up real quick. That's a harrowing story, and one that also figures into our current president. Yeah, there's one called the Central Park Five. That's the one I saw. I imagine they're both great, but no, Donald Trump, the current president, called for their, he even when they're exonerated, he took out an ad in the paper that basically said, bullshit and they should be put away for life or worse. I don't even remember exactly what he said because I try not to pay attention. Let me see here. Martin Kidd watched Do the Right Thing as a teenager and the scene where Spike Lee points out John Turturro's hypocrisy of being racist toward characters, toward Lee's character, but admiring famous people of color like Prince and Carl Lewis really stuck with me. I remember, that movie is just as relevant today, if not more so than it ever was. That movie rocked my world.
It comes up all the time. It's come up a bunch with us. I've still not seen it. I am going to see it. It's so beloved by so many different people, and it's been recommended to me like 10 times over. I got to see it.
Yeah, one of the great movies of all time. Katie Scott says, not a movie, but the new HBO Watchmen was the first time I'd heard about the Tulsa Race Massacre. I live in northeastern Oklahoma and went to an Oklahoma public school for 12 years, and it was never taught to us. And I never thought anything like that would ever happen in Oklahoma. Very eye-opening. Yeah, even stuff like that can educate and open people's eyes to dive deeper.
Oh, yeah. That was a fabulous show. I just found out something pretty gross and weird and possibly not on purpose, but if very tone deaf either way. Apparently Trump's first big rally is going to be in Tulsa.
It is in Tulsa.
And it's on Juneteenth, which many folks might not know about, but it's a big holiday, considered a holiday in the African-American community, and it celebrates the abolition of slavery, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's intention there, but it sure is a pretty bad choice if there wasn't.
Oh, no. It's dark time.
It is dark time. Can I add one real quick? You might already have it.
Sure.
I've not seen this, but it was recommended to me just last night. It's called L.A. 92.
Yeah. About the riots?
Documentary about the L.A. riots surrounding, about the Rodney King beating, or the L.A. riots that were kind of stoked as a result of the Rodney King beating, which is sort of the one people most think about, but also the shooting of a young black woman by a Korean grocery store owner that was also a big catalyst for the LA riots. But apparently the documentary, it doesn't have a lot of voiceover. It just uses just like archival footage from, you know, when it actually happened, and that it's incredibly powerful.
Yeah. My brother was living in Hollywood at the time. And former guest Raymond Carr also has a great story about that. So go back and listen to his episode for that. I'd like to get Raymond back in here. I wonder if he has a recording set up at his house. I'll shoot him a text. Lisa Romano, one of our old friends, says 12 Years a Slave. That comes up here a lot. The raw realism had me alternating, dissolving in tears and recoiling in horror. Such a strong lead role performance, too.
Also a breakout role for the lead actor.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. He's popped up in some pretty big movies since then, you could say. Mm-hmm. Here's one from Michael Rakowski. He says, a little lighter in tone, but a classic, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Great commentary on how we speak compared to how we feel about racism. Mm. Still holds up today, more than 50 years later. Allison Schallenberger says, Gideon's Army follows public defenders who work in the South. Quite a minimal doc, with hardly any narration or soundtrack, and it still hits hard, the truths about race, poverty, and the justice system. And she also recommends Whose Streets, about activists in Ferguson. Yeah, I got to see both of those. I need to get on a documentary run here. A very recent one here from Eliza Russell, Black Klansman, of course.
Yep.
Great movie.
Really, really great.
Zach Pointer. I mean,
it's such an interesting combination of like just gut punch, kind of intense realism, and also like some satire. And then when it incorporates all of the real footage at the end, I mean, it's just a really kind of the perfect package. I think it's one of Spike Lee's finest films.
Yeah, it was great. And a great kind of comeback for him, too, in a way. Although I think he's doing some great work these days. She's Got to Have It is fantastic. The TV show. Zach Pointer, one of our oldest friends, says The Old Roots with LeVar Burton. Yeah, certainly. That is always worth watching, and something that many of us, including myself, saw in school in history class. So it has that the vibe of the 80s miniseries, but it's still a great story. Robin Arona says School Days and Do the Right Thing. Great when they came out. Still love them today. Let me see here. Dan Ennis recommends LA 92 as well. It's on Netflix, by the way, everyone. Streaming on Netflix. An old friend, Vanessa Lopez, says 13th, one that I have got in my queue and I'm going to watch probably this weekend. If Beale Street Could Talk, I also want to see that. And I Am Not Your Negro, which was a really, really good documentary. Have you seen that one?
Yes, it's about James Baldwin, who... I've really only seen like some interview clips with. I really need to read some of his books. There's one called Notes from a Native Son that I keep seeing recommended that is about kind of just his experience growing up, you know, under racist society, really, and just how he kind of interpreted a lot of that stuff, and really poignant, smart dude. Really would love to see that documentary as well.
Yeah, it's great. Megan Carroll, one of our old friends, says, I haven't heard of this one, Tales of the Grim Sleeper. I was getting my grad degree in public administration when I saw it. I believe that the government should be a force of good. And to see the LA municipal government just not care about a serial killer targeting a certain population angered and shook me like little I had seen before. Wow, that sounds interesting. I got to check that out.
Yeah. No, not familiar.
I don't think I even know that story, Noel. Let's do a couple of more here. Another vote for Roots. Joanna Wicks says Just a Mercy. is absolutely required watching, and it's streaming for free on all platforms. She said these are movies that need to be watched because of how recently the events took place. You'd think it was the 1950s or something, but nope. These events were happening all after I was born and still happening today. A couple more votes for 13th on Netflix and Do the Right Thing. Desiree, here's from a different part of the world. Desiree Heald says, Rabbit Proof Fence for Australian Aboriginal history, particularly in my state of Western Australia. Yeah, I haven't seen that. I've heard that was really good. I want to check that out, too.
History class did an episode about, you know, the true story behind that, and they referenced that movie quite a few times and say it's great. I'd love to see it as well. It's definitely not a story people think of often. It's not doesn't quite get as much press as it deserves, but yeah, really, really great, interesting story.
Yeah, and a reminder that the race relations suffer all over the world, Noel. This is why so many people all over planet Earth right now are standing in unison to protest, is because it's not, it's bad in America, but it's not exclusive to America.
If I could add an audio recommendation to this, my team just launched a show that we've been developing for close to a year with a really amazing team of hosts from Athens, Georgia, one of whom is a city council woman named Mariah Parker, and her rap name is Lingua Franca, and she's an incredible performer and rapper and activist and organizer, and her host Kedrick Mack, aka Dope Knife, is a fantastic illustrator, comic book artist, also an activist, has a background in like diplomacy. His parents were in the foreign service, and they just talk about the intersection between hip-hop and politics, and we pushed the launch up ever so slightly just to give them a platform during this time, and they re-recorded the first, you know, half of the first season, really, just kind of threw it all out the window and, you know, really reframed it around their experiences surrounding this moment that we're in right now. And it's just, I couldn't be more proud of it, and it's available now wherever you get podcasts, called Waiting on Reparations.
Yeah, and that's doing very well, too, which is fantastic. Hey, Ruby, how you doing?
Hey, Ruby.
You say hi to Noel.
I heard you were hiding under the table earlier. Is that true?
He asked if you were hiding under the table.
I was.
How did that go? Didn't go well for you, did you? Did it? Yeah, you can sit on my lap. We'll go with Charles Martin Akers here, one of our old pals from St. Louis. And this is kind of cool. I really like hearing these recommendations of smaller documentaries. He said, two independent docs. Can you have this? Sure. Two independent docs about St. Louis and the divide here. The Pruitt-Igoe Myth, which is about public housing, and Spanish Lake, which is about white flight. Totally. Yeah, that's good stuff. And let's finish up here with Derek Speedy, who recommends quite a few movies, Blind Spotting, American Son, and Sorry to Bother You, along with a couple of others. But Blind Spotting's great. You know, we had David and his partner on the show, and great movie.
And you
also, everyone should check out Blind Spotting. Mike Ireland
Boots
also
Riley on the show, who directed and created Sorry to Bother You, which
right.
was such a great movie.
Sorry to Bother You. Man, I can't wait to see what Boots does next. He's a filmmaker I'm excited. Very excited about. So check these out. We'll leave this thread up, everybody. If you're looking to educate yourself, we got a good list going here. And I urge all of you to spend some time with yourself and with documentaries and films like these, because we could all take a closer look at our lives and how we are part of the problem or part of the solution. So get out there and do the right thing, dare I say? All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.